Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Coming up this hour,
President Trump narrows his choice to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg on the Supreme Court.
Fed Chair Jay Powell predicts a long, uncertain road for the economic recovery.
And the UK announces fresh coronavirus restrictions to stop a surge in cases.
The chance of a stimulus deal is evaporating, and coronavirus cases in New Jersey are on the rise. I'm John Tucker. Those stories straight ahead.
John Stashower in sports. The Blue Jays pounded the Yankees. Mets lost to the Rays, and the Giants have lost Saquon Barkley for the season.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good, one community, SEI. Go to seic.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are treading water after yesterday's sell-off. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down 6 points right now. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany is up 0.75%. The CAC in Paris is up less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is also a little change, down less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We'll get more on the markets in just a moment. First, let's get the latest on the battle for the Supreme Court. President Trump says he will name his pick to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg by the end of the week, and he wants her confirmed before Election Day, now just 6 weeks away.
I mean, there's really a lot of time. So let's say I make the announcement on Saturday. There's a great deal of time before the election. That'll be up to Mitch in the Senate.
And Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is suggesting a nominee could be approved quickly.
The late iconic Justice John Paul Stevens was confirmed by the Senate 19 days after this body formally received his nomination.
But Democrats say if Republicans rush the process, nothing is off the table. That includes adding more seats to the high court. Presidential nominee Joe Biden isn't saying whether he'd support that, telling WGAY-TV in Wisconsin.
Because it will shift all the focus. That's what he wants. He never wants to talk about the issue at hand. He always tries to change the subject.
President Trump says he's considering 4 or 5 nominees, but sources tell us his top choice is Amy Coney Barrett. She is a favorite of anti-abortion rights advocates and is also said to be favored by Mitch McConnell.
Another key election issue is the coronavirus. As U.S. deaths approach 200,000, President Trump graded his work on the outbreak in an appearance on Fox and Friends.
On the job itself, we take an A+. We're rounding the corner. With or without a vaccine, they hate it when I say that, but that's the way it is. We're rounding the corner on the pandemic, and we've done a phenomenal job, not just a good job, a phenomenal job.
Joe Biden disagrees, calling the president's response to the pandemic inadequate and incompetent.
Due to Donald Trump's lies and incompetence in the past 6 months, have seen one of the gravest losses of American life in history.
Biden spoke in Wisconsin, where infections are currently increasing sharply. Cases around the world have now topped 31 million.
And meanwhile, in the UK, the government is announcing new restrictions to stem a new outbreak. Let's get the very latest live from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The advice now is to work from home where possible once more. That's as the government scrambles to control those virus numbers that are rising quickly. The Prime Minister also preparing to order bars and restaurants to close daily at 10 p.m. Transactions will be limited to table service only amid a bid to clamp down on socialising. And those measures represent a reversal of efforts to reopen the economy after the first national lockdown here shuttered activity in March and sparked the deepest UK recession in more than 100 years. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., Jay Powell says the economy is improving but has a long way to go before fully recovering from the pandemic. The Fed chair is set to appear before Congress again today. Bloomberg economics correspondent Michael McKee has the story.
The Fed chairman and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will tell the House Financial Services Committee the U.S. economy needs additional fiscal help. Members of the committee will ask the two, what's happened to the money we already gave you? Congress gave the Treasury $454 billion in March to underwrite Fed lending to distressed businesses, states, and cities. But as of last week, more than half of it was uncommitted. Powell is expected to say having the money helped unclog financial markets, which meant they wouldn't need to spend as much. Lawmakers are considering proposals to take some of it back and use it as part of another stimulus. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. Well, Powell has often beaten the drum for more stimulus from Congress, but not all Fed officials share his view. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard isn't convinced more support is needed. He spoke exclusively with Bloomberg's Kathleen Hayes.
I'm hopeful that we still have enough in the pipeline to push us through, get the growth going in the second half of the year here. That certainly seems to be what's happening in the third quarter. I think that'll continue in the fourth quarter and the first part of next year.
Bullard says the U.S. economy may shrink 3 to 4% this year. That's less than half of what was predicted early in the crisis.
On the corporate front, we have new developments in the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok. President Trump said he may renege on approval of the deal if ByteDance retains control. At the same time, he hopes an IPO for the company could dilute China's influence. Bloomberg's Shelley Benja reports.
The contorted math around all of that is because American investors own shares in the parent company that would transfer over into the new company. But that's not really how companies are run. If you're a minority stakeholder, that doesn't really give you any kind of power or say over the decisions that get made at that company.
Shelley Banjo reporting.
Shares of Tesla are down nearly 4% in the pre-market ahead of the company's annual shareholders meeting and its first ever battery day. Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky reports.
If history is any guide, CEO Elon Musk could tell shareholders about demand for Tesla vehicles or give updates about new factories. It comes as Tesla races to set a record for quarterly vehicle deliveries. The battery event is of keen interest to investors. Musk has promised many exciting things, but even the smallest improvement in batteries can have a huge impact because they are an electric car's most expensive part. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thank you. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time now to check the latest world and national news headlines. Good morning, John Tucker.
Hey, good morning, Nathan. The eruption of the partisan battle over replacing Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has damaged already slim prospects for another round of U.S. fiscal stimulus. The story in this report from Bloomberg's Amy Morris.
President Trump's plans to nominate a successor to Ginsburg by the end of the week has stoked ill will between the parties and further diminishes the small hopes for a potential deal that emerged last week when President Trump signaled he'd back a much bigger stimulus than the administration previously supported. Lawmakers will likely get a fresh reminder this week economic growth will prove weaker without renewed fiscal stimulus, with the impact of a $2 trillion March package fading fast. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey is seeing rising coronavirus cases. The state exceeded 200,000 new infections, while its transmission rate, a key measurement, reached the highest in 6 weeks. In the week leading up to Friday, the rate averaged 1.07. A measure above one indicates that the virus is spreading. President Trump emerged from Air Force One in Swanton, Ohio, last night for his Great American Comeback event to a cheering crowd of supporters.
We're going to win 4 more years in the White House. We're doing things that nobody's ever done before. We're doing what nobody's ever done.
President Trump prefers speaking to boisterous crowds, but because of the coronavirus, he'll be giving a pre-recorded address to the UN General Assembly today. The speech comes as he grapples with the virus pandemic, chilly relations between the U.S. and China, and ongoing threats from North Korea and Iran. And New York City is among three cities the Trump administration is designating anarchist jurisdictions. It met with a swift response from Mayor Bill de Blasio.
It's all about race, and it's all about attempts to divide and to enthrall his base by attacking the other.
The Justice Department taking aim at New York, Portland, and Seattle, and could strip federal funding from the cities amid protests and cuts to police departments. And a New York City police officer accused of spying for China, Bamaji Angwang, a naturalized U.S. citizen who was born in China, is charged with aiding the Chinese government's surveillance of ethnic Tibetans living in the city. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
All right, good morning, Nathan. Since 10 straight wins, 2 straight losses for the Yankees, and they've allowed 21 runs. Toronto scored 5 times in the 3rd inning, 4 more in the 4th. They beat the Yanks 11-5, and while the Yankees are in the playoffs, they are in a battle with Minnesota for home field in their likely playoff series next week with the Twins. And even with no fans, both teams are far better at home. The Twins at Target Field are 21-5. They are currently a game and a half ahead of the Yanks. Certainly doesn't look like the Mets will be playing past this week. They lost to Tampa Bay 2-1. Jacob DeGrom struck out 14 in 7 innings, still took the loss. Monday Night Football in Las Vegas and a successful debut for the Raiders. In their new home, they upset the Saints 34-24. The Giants' fears were realized. Saquon Barkley has a torn ACL, headed for season-ending surgery. His coach is Joe Judge.
Obviously, losing a player who's such a good teammate, all right, and someone who's such a hard worker on the field will impact your team in a lot of ways. Saquon's a tremendous player. We have even more respect for him as a person. I personally hate it for this guy, as hard as he's worked and as much of impact he has for this team.
Question is, will Barkley be the same back next year? Adrian Peterson had this injury, came back, rushed for over 2,000 yards. The Giants will look into signing veteran free agent back Devontae Freeman. They've also lost wideout Sterling Shepard to a toe injury. He won't play Sunday against the 49ers, who are really banged up off their win over the Jets, though their quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo may be able to play on Sunday. The Stanley Cup Final is tied at 1. Tampa Bay beat Dallas 3-2. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
And John, the owners of America's empty Major League Baseball stadiums can get some financial relief from the $3.9 trillion muni bond market. Yankee Stadium, which sold bonds for the ballpark in the Bronx, is refinancing its debt through a $923 million sale this week. And a Texas agency that sold bonds for the retractable roof stadium where the Astros play is also completing a refinancing. That'll push off debt payments as hotel and car rental tax revenue plunged during the pandemic. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 5:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover above and beyond. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com. European stocks are rebounding and U.S. stock index futures are stabilizing following yesterday's declines as tech shares once again lead gains. The dollar is extending its biggest daily advance in 3 months. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up a point, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield, 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 32 cents at $39.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $2.40 at $19.08.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1737 against the dollar, British pound, 1.2807, and the yen, 104.60. Today, we are watching for reports on existing home sales at a 10 o'clock Wall Street time, and Nike is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now, here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump's plans to nominate a successor to Ruth Bader Ginsburg by the end of the week is imperiling the chances for another round of U.S. fiscal stimulus. The president's move has stoked a wave of Democratic opposition and ill will. A wildfire scorching its way through brush and timber from the mountains to the desert northeast of Los Angeles is threatening more than 1,000 homes. And Tropical Storm Beta made landfall on the upper Texas coast on Monday night. Beta was the 9th named storm that made landfall in the continental U.S. this year. Bloomberg Sports, Monday Night Football. The Raiders beat the Saints. Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay. Even the series with Dallas. Baseball, Yankees and Mets lose. The Nationals win. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get right to our guest this morning. Dennis Gartman is with us for the hour, economist and former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Great, as always, to have you on, Dennis. As Karen mentioned moments ago, futures contracts are kind of treading water this morning after yesterday's losses. We briefly saw the S&P 500 hit correction territory intraday yesterday. What's your outlook for this market?
I'm really rather bearish on stock prices generally, have been for some while. I think there's far too many, the public is far too involved, far too many circumstances that of examples of bubblish activity. We have Mr. Portnoy, who continues to be the leading guru. And when you have that sort of circumstance, I tend to be somewhat frightened. Clearly, the political agenda, the death of the chief or the justice Ginsburg, has caused a more political dissension. That certainly has raised concerns. So I think, on balance, one should be very reticent about being about being bullish of stock prices generally. The only thing that you can say is that with the increased activity of coronavirus in Europe and raising concerns there once again, the stay-at-home stocks, the work-from-the-house stocks, clearly took advantage of that yesterday. It was really quite astonishing to watch how quickly they rallied late in the day. But on balance, I'm very bearish of stock prices. I trade only for my own account, and I am marginally net short, have been for about 2 weeks and added to it yesterday. We'll see what happens today.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the rally in European shares this morning, particularly, as you mentioned, in those stay-at-home stocks. It's almost paralleling the phenomenon that we saw here in the U.S. as the pandemic was going on. Do you see European equities outperforming U.S. stocks now?
Marginally, maybe. I'm not overtly in that school of thought. I guess I'd rather stay involved here in the United States rather than abroad. But you may get a slight bounce. We're actually seeing that, as you just mentioned, you've got the DAX up at what, almost
1% right now, yeah.
And we're unchanged, for lack of a better term. I would not follow the European market higher. Given the rally that we've had over there, if you made me do something this morning in the European shares, I'd probably be a seller of the futures right now. But I wouldn't be pressed to do so.
In the past, you've said that the rally that we've seen generally has been driven by central bank support. We still have that, and Fed Chairman Powell is going to be on Capitol Hill later today, along with the Treasury Secretary, talking about the need for more fiscal support. I mean, what's your outlook for that? It seems as though fiscal support has been at a deadlock for months now.
It's amazing to me that we are locked in the inability to get fiscal stimulus going again once again. I think that the Ginsburg circumstances created more confusion, but if I were a Democrat, which I am not, I would be willing to come to the table and say, look, let's get something done here. I'm surprised that they have been reticent. It appears that the Republicans want to meet something. They're going to have to ramp up their numbers a little bit to maybe $1.5 trillion. Sooner or later, they're going to have to come to an agreement, no question about it. And Mr. Powell made it abundantly clear. The Fed has done what it can. It will continue to do what it can, but it is looking to the federal government to be more sponsor, to offer more sponsorship. Can they? Should they? They can. They should. Will they? Whole nother question.
Is there more, though, that the Fed can do? There's been some criticism of the central bank that the Main Street lending program hasn't worked out as well as it was envisioned.
Well, the Fed can still do what the Bank of Japan has done. I mean, let's be honest. The Bank of Japan has been the leader in expanding activities. Now, with the Bank of Japan actually out buying stocks in the form of ETFs, I wonder whether the Fed shall ever be able to do that. Or let me change that. The Fed could do that if it wished to do that. Will the Fed do that? I have my doubts as to whether they can. But I still don't think that they have used all their powers. They can be even more expansionary. They can buy ETFs if they wish to. They can buy more agencies if they wish to. They could buy more Treasury securities if they wish to. So they still have plenty of firepower left. Will they use it? That's another question for another time. But they have been expansionary thus far, and they're not going to stop that. As Mr. Powell made that great statement, we haven't even begun to think about tightening. Maybe they're going to start thinking about it, but it's going to be a long time into the future before they do.
As we mentioned, Dennis Gartman, you're going to be with us for the hour here. I'm looking forward to continuing this conversation about what the Fed could do going forward and what it could mean, not just for the Treasury markets, but for commodities and currencies. So Dennis Gartman, publisher, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, coming back on with us later this hour to continue this conversation here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Taking a look at the markets right now, mixed action for futures prices. S&P futures are up 3 points, Dow futures down 23. NASDAQ futures are higher by 55 points, leading the gains this morning. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. S&P futures are higher this morning, and so are NASDAQ futures. This is after the fourth day of losses for the S&P 500. That's the longest stretch since February. Meantime, President Trump is looking to name a successor to Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg by this Friday or Saturday. The president said he has four or five picks in mind.
The only thing I'll say for the women, it will be a woman.
And the woman at the top of his list is Judge Amy Coney Barrett. Sources tell us she's met with the president and White House counsel and is favored by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Doubts are emerging about Oracle's deal to take over TikTok. President Trump says he may still renege on approval. And as Bloomberg's Jody Schneider reports, the Chinese government is also signaling reluctance to sign off on the partnership.
Shortly after comments that President Trump made, the editor-in-chief of the Global Times, which is Chinese state-affiliated media, tweeted that officials in Beijing would likely reject the deal because the agreement would endanger China's national security, and they went on to say interests and dignity.
Sources tell us U.S. national security officials are concerned the proposed deal leaves data for more than 100 million Americans in the hands of a Chinese firm.
In the U.K., the government is telling people to work from home again if possible. Prime Minister Boris Johnson is preparing to announce new restrictions on bars and restaurants in a bid to halt a surge in coronavirus cases.
And for investors today, a few key events to keep an eye on. Fed Chair Jay Powell and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin testify on pandemic relief before a congressional panel. Tesla holds its annual shareholder meeting, followed by what it calls its Battery Day presentation. And Nike reports earnings after the close of U.S. trading.
And S&P futures, again, moving higher, up 3 points right now. Dow futures lower, down 33. And NASDAQ futures are up 60. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 0.66%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 32 cents at $39.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down $1.20 at $19.09.40 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1740 against the dollar. British pound 1.2802, and the yen is at 104.59. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And that brings us, Karen, to 5:33 on Wall Street. And John Tucker is here to bring us the latest world and national news headlines. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, good morning. In the state of New Jersey, a key measure of the coronavirus has reached its highest rate in 6 weeks. We get details this morning in this report from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
New Jersey on Monday reported exceeding 200,000 novel coronavirus cases. Its transmission rate, a key measurement, reached 1.12%. A measure above 1 indicates the virus is spreading. The New Jersey rate hasn't been that high since August 7th. Now, some schools and universities have returned to in-person classes this month. And on September 4th, the state allowed indoor dining, performances, and films to resume with restrictions. The state, which reported its first case March 4th, has reported just over 16,000 deaths. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Radio.
And New Jersey is now offering to cover child care payments for parents who are working full-time and can't afford to stay home with their kids for remote learning.
And all you will need is a proof of income and a remote learning notice or announcement from your child's school.
Governor Phil Murphy says the $150 million program will only fund licensed or registered child care providers. The program covers kids ages 5 to 13. Families with incomes up to $75,000 a year can apply online. As President Trump's campaign pushes law and order, Attorney General William Barr said New York City, Seattle, and Portland, Oregon have become anarchies that aren't performing basic governmental functions to keep people safe. The city's mayors, Bill de Blasio of New York, Ted Wheeler of Portland, and Jenny Durkin of Seattle, are now rejecting the threat as what they call thoroughly political and unconstitutional. Tropical Storm Beta flooding southeastern Texas as it grinds towards the shore, causing streets in southwest Houston to flood. At least 20 water rescues from vehicles were made in the city. Jamie Garcia helped a man out of his submerged vehicle.
You're okay, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're safe, man. All right,
thank,
my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
You're very welcome.
The storm could linger for days, pounding the coast with heavy rain as it meanders toward Louisiana. And the eruption of a partisan battle over replacing Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg has damaged already slim prospects for another round of U.S. fiscal stimulus and threatening to undermine the recovery in the coming months. The prospect of a contentious Senate confirmation process, along with the need to pass a vital stopgap spending bill by the end of this month, raises the challenge for lawmakers to get a coronavirus relief package done before they're scheduled to break for campaigning. Global news 24 hours a day on air and a Bloomberg Quick Take powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's almost 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Yankees trying to set up their postseason rotation. So they started rookie Michael King in Buffalo, followed him with Jonathan Loaisiga. Didn't go well. Blue Jays over the third and fourth inning scored 9 runs on 10 hits off the two Yankee pitchers. Jays went on to win 11-5, only that close due to a Mike Tauchman 3-run double in the ninth. Aaron Boone on the struggles on the mound.
And they did a lot of their damage with two strikes. And those two innings seem like, I have to go back and look for sure, but, you know, probably 7-8 hits and or walks with two strikes, just so that, you know, the inability to put guys away tonight really cost us and had the game get away from us.
Yeah, the pitching should be better tonight with Garrett Cole starting. His next start will be a week from tonight. That'll be the playoff opener, almost certainly against Minnesota. And the Yankees' record in postseason games versus the Twins is 19-2. The Mets, who on Sunday had 3 hits, last night had 4 hits. No support for Jacob deGrom. They lost to Tampa Bay 2-1. The Oakland A's, first team to clinch a division title. They took the AL West. The Raiders no longer in Oakland. Their first game in Las Vegas, a 34-24 upset of the Saints. Giants' Saquon Barkley officially now out for the year, torn ACL. He's not the only injured running back. Carolina's Christian McCaffrey will miss 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. No team has more injuries than the 49ers, who just beat the Jets, and on Sunday will be back at MetLife to face the Giants. Their top pass rusher, Nick Bosa, is done for the year. The Niners are blaming the new turf at MetLife. The NFL says it meets standards. Stanley Cup Final, Tampa Bay beat Dallas 3-2. The series is tied at 1. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Yankee Stadium, which sold bonds for the ballpark in the Bronx, is refinancing its debt through a $924 million sale this week. Tony Bruno, Chief Financial Officer of Yankee Global Enterprises, says cutting its debt costs will benefit the stadium, employees, and the city of New York. State tax revenue in parts of the country are rebounding as the economy emerges from the coronavirus. August sales tax receipts in New Jersey rose 3% from a year earlier. Analysts are forecasting revenue will exceed Governor Phil Murphy's projections by $1.4 billion for the fiscal year. Volunteer firefighters in Norwich who meet active service requirements will see their property tax break doubled. City Council Monday approved ordinance changes, raising the abatement for the current maximum of $1,000 to $1,500 this year and $2,000 starting next July. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Carnival's Princess Cruise Line has sold two of its ships.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that General Mills intends to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 30% over the next decade.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the government's call to work from home again as part of new COVID restrictions.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about a busy day for Tesla, which is holding its Battery Day event along with its shareholder meeting.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the new Ford Explorer has won the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety's Top Safety Award.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. One of the world's most dogged investors, Nelson Peltz, is setting his sights on Comcast. We get more on that story from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The investment firm run by Peltz, Trian Fund Management, said it believes Comcast stock is undervalued. And we're told Trian now holds a small but notable stake in Comcast of less than 0.5%. Trian is known for pushing management to offload poor-performing businesses or even breaking up whole companies. The firm has taken on some of the world's biggest corporations, but it may have less power to influence Comcast. Brian Roberts, the chairman and CEO, has a third of the voting rights. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thanks. Apple CEO Tim Cook says he's been impressed by employees' ability to operate remotely and predicted some new work habits will remain after the pandemic. Those comments during the Atlantic Festival contrasted the views of other executives. Netflix's Reed Hastings recently called remote work a pure negative. Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase warned of lasting damage if workers don't get back to the office soon. This is Bloomberg. That brings us to just before 5:41 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer to get special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com. European stocks are rebounding from yesterday's sell-off, and U.S. stock index futures reversing declines as tech shares once again show resilience. The dollar extending its biggest daily advance in 3 months. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures down 37. NASDAQ futures up 68. The DAX in Germany is up 1%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 32 cents at $39.63 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.60 at $19.09 an ounce. The euro 1.1736 against the dollar. British pound 1.2789. And the yen 104.55. And Polish e-commerce platform Allegro plans to raise as much as $2.1 billion in an initial public offering in Warsaw. That's expected to be one of the country's biggest ever listings. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
All right, thanks, Karen. Senate Republicans are moving quickly to set their strategy for confirming President Trump's Supreme Court nominee, with the senators focusing on whether they can move fast enough to get it done before Election Day. The U.S. is approaching 200,000 deaths from COVID-19, and Apple is predicting a permanent change with remote work. A tropical storm Beta flooding southeastern Texas. Beta is the Atlantic's 23rd storm for this year. In sports, Monday Night Football, Raiders beat the Saints. In the Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay even their series with Dallas. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets both lose, and the Nationals win. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're pleased to say Dennis Gartman is back with us now, economist and former publisher of the Gartman Letter. And Dennis, I want to pick up on the conversation we were having a little less than a half hour ago about what more the Fed can do and the prospects for fiscal stimulus, because we're starting to see a bit of a divide within the central bank as to whether stimulus is even needed here. We're expecting that Chairman Powell is going to make the pitch for yet more support from Congress. At the same time, we spoke with St. Louis Fed President James Bullard, who's thinking that maybe further fiscal support isn't needed, that the recovery can be sustained without it. Where do you sit on that?
Well, I think that the economy still is really quite weak. The only thing, the only area of the market that, or the economy that seems abundantly strong, is the housing market. We'll see that this later this morning when we get statistics on housing. But still, restaurants around the country, hotels around the country, automobile sales around the country continue to be relatively slow. I think we're still in a recessionary circumstance, and I think we still need both fiscal and monetary stimulus. Whether we get it is another story completely, but I am of the school of thought that we certainly need more fiscal stimulus to come to support the unemployed that are out there right now. And whether the Fed will continue to be a buyer of Treasury securities is open for debate. I watch the adjusted monetary base as my real example of what the Fed is doing, and it is a little disconcerting, a little bothersome, that the adjusted base got to over $5 trillion and it's down to about $4.7 trillion. They have been less expansionary than I thought they should be or would be, and that is a little disconcerting. But we'll see. Time shall tell.
You say that the Fed could buy more treasuries. I mean, I'm looking at the treasury market right now, and it's been in a range pretty much since the lowest level of the stock market, around 0.67% for the 10-year treasury. I mean, where do you see treasury yields going at this point?
Actually, I spend most of my time watching what's going on at the very long end, and the long end has got about a 1.41 yield. My question is, who is going to put money out for 30 years at 1.4%? And as I've always said, all economics is a study of people's propensity to do something, and I think the propensity on the part of institutions, individuals, governments at all, other than central banks, to put money out 30 years at 1.4% is marginal at very best. So I think rates are going to go higher at the long end of the curve. Clearly, the Fed has no intention, none whatsoever, of tightening at the short end of the curve. They're going to keep the overnight Fed funds rate at 0% at least for another year, perhaps as long as 2 years. But at the long end of the curve, I think you can see 2% yields easily for the 30-year. I think inflationary pressures, especially amongst commodity prices, are now extant and really quite abundant and likely to continue and likely to grow. So I think that the long end of the curve, yield rates go higher. At the short end of the curve, rates hold absolutely steady because that's where the Fed has power.
What do those inflation expectations mean for gold?
Probably higher. I mean, yesterday, with the stock market under as much pressure as it was early in the morning, there were margin call concerns going around. And then when you get margin call concerns, the first thing that gets sold is gold because you can get liquidity there very quickly. But I think on balance, it means that gold prices still want to go higher. I think gold will be over $2,000 an ounce by the end of this year and probably $2,500 an ounce sometime next year as inflationary pressures pick up. I think that has to be. So if you're going to be, perhaps the trade is to be long of gold and short of the stock market for the next 6 months, year, 2 years going forward.
Oh, in our last 30 seconds here, we're seeing some dollar strength of late. Doesn't that put pressure on gold?
Oh, not a question. If we start to get the euro trading 116, which I don't think we're going to do, but if we were starting to trade 116, gold prices would be demonstrably lower than they are right now. Clearly, a strong dollar is deleterious to gold prices. Clearly, a weak dollar is supportive of gold prices. So pay attention to what's going on in the euro. I doubt we get below 116, and I do think that we'll get above 120 over the course of the next 6 months to a year.
Thanks, as always, for the extended time, Dennis. We really appreciate it. Dennis Gartman, economist and former publisher of the Gartman Letter, with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking advisory and accounting firm helping clients to be in a position of strength in the new reality of business. Learn about their innovative solutions by visiting Withum.com. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The National Hot Rod Associates are suing the Coca-Cola Company for canceling a drag racing sponsorship. Racing Group says Coke is using the pandemic as a pretext. NBC Universal and Golf Club have resolved a trademark dispute over NBC's use of the name Golf Pass, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration charges a Veterans Affairs hospital in Indianapolis failed to protect workers from the coronavirus at the start of the pandemic.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal story we're watching, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg will lie in repose at the U.S. Supreme Court tomorrow and Thursday with an outdoor viewing area for members of the public to pay respects. Justice Ginsburg was a trailblazer for women's rights, the second female justice on the Supreme Court, and a cultural icon. For more on the justice, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Toby Haytens, the Solicitor General of the state of Virginia, who clerked for Ginsburg.
Let's just start with a broad question. What was Justice Ginsburg like?
It's a surprisingly hard question because she was very, I say, complicated. She was incredibly smart. She was incredibly hardworking. She was incredibly kind. And she was a bit odd in a great way, but in a way that you definitely took some getting used to. But she was brilliant. Incredibly hardworking, incredibly kind, incredibly generous, an all-around great person.
So you say she was a bit odd, but in a good way. What do you mean?
Sort of, I think a lot of things that people have mentioned about her, despite having a huge personality and a huge footprint on the law and on broader culture, she spoke extremely softly. Her voice was often extremely soft and extremely deliberately. Despite being a great lover of the opera and a person who obviously was an amazing dresser and spent a bunch of time her own look, she was, so far as I can tell, pretty much completely indifferent to how the people who worked for her looked or dressed. One of my sort of overall senses is that RBG divided the world very sharply into things that she cared about and things that she did not care about. And the things that she cared about intensely and profoundly. And the things that she didn't, like what her law clerks wore to work or what hours they kept, was something that she just did not care about at all.
What was the atmosphere like in her chambers for the clerks?
She was definitely a hard worker. One of the things I remember learning, though, is that she worked very distinctive hours. The justice was a night owl, and I am not. She would come in late, and she would leave late. I think one of the things that was so amazing about her, and it's all the more striking to me, you know, with the benefit of years of hindsight, is that she really didn't have a whole lot of rules. You know, some federal judges have lots and lots and lots of rules about what their law clerks need to do or what they need to wear or when they need to be in the office. I think in RBG's perspective, none of that particularly mattered as long as they were available when she needed them and as long as they did the work that she needed them to do.
And that's Virginia Solicitor General Toby Haytens speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 3 points. NASDAQ futures higher as well, up 61. Dow futures lower, down 35. 10-year Treasury down 137. Second yield 0.67% and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 32 cents at $39.63 a barrel. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.